Anybody know what I got back here?
Wood.
I got wood. Right. And what would happen if I took one of those candles and brought it down here to the wood?
It would catch on fire.
It would catch on fire. And then it would be a campfire. I'm so glad you came up with that answer instead of something very destructive. Because I shouldn't start a fire in here in the church, should I? No, that would be a bad idea. But I brought it here so that we can think about being at a campfire. And some of you have been at camp. Have you been around a campfire at camp? Did you go with grandma to camp? No? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I have it on good authority that you were at camp with, what's he called the other grandma?
Grandma Sue.
Grandma Sue. The other grandma Sue. Okay, I know, I'm asking hard pressurized questions here. When some of us have been at church camp, we have toasted marshmallows over the campfire, and then we've put them between graham crackers, and there's something else that goes in.
Chocolate.
You do remember that part. Okay, we remember that part. That's the important part. And that makes something called a
s'more.
S'more. Everybody seems to know that important term. Okay, so we can make s'mores, and a lot of us sing around the campfire. We sing fun songs, we sing really old songs, we sing songs from church, we sing all kinds of great songs around the campfire. Sometimes if you're really lucky, you have somebody who's really good on the guitar and knows lots of songs, and so you can sing for an hour around the campfire. What are some of the other fun things that people have done at camp? Who wants to share here? We have a couple of experts. This is Sam and this is Drew, and they've been to camp. They've been to church camp. So which one of you wants to share? Okay. Sam, you're going to share here.
Well, I've gone to church camp, I think, 3 or 4 years now. My favorite part is going to the Vespers, which is where, like, at night you go and you have a church service, and you go all over camp. So, like, you can go to Big Rock, which is where there's a whole bunch of rocks all over the place, and you can climb on them, and the view is amazing. I also like the swimming, and then we sing songs, and we play different activities, and we do crafts, and it's just a lot of fun to meet new people.
Who writes the worship? Who leads the worship?
Every night, it's a different group of people. So, like, one night, my group of people, so it's like a girls' cabin, will lead the service. Another night, the boys' cabin will lead the service. And the younger kids will lead one night. And then all the counselors will have a service at one night leading. So you take turns.
Is it worship like in church, or is it a little bit more fun?
It's a little more fun.
It's a little more fun, yeah. I remember at the end of one of the weeks of camp I was at, and the kids were saying, why can't church be like worship at camp where it's fun? So we would be happy for you to bring some of your ideas and your readings and how you think we should do it, your songs, whatever. Bring them back from camp. We would love to have you do that. So, anything else, Sam? Okay. I bet Drew has something that he could tell us about. You went to sports camp, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
I went to the sports camps like all day. Like what Sam was saying, you do the Vespers at the end, but you do sports literally from like 8 o'clock in the morning to like 8 at night, and then you go to the Vespers. So like you're really tired by the end of it because you're like running around all day. But most of the people that I went to the camp with, I still talk to today, and like I haven't been able to go the past few years because I got hurt a lot. So like I was on crutches and stuff, so can't really run around when I'm like that. But I still talk to them, like I'm still close, but it's really fun. And like there's a lot of different places you do Vespers. Like there's one where you're on like the side of a hill, and then like if you look down, you can see like a big cross that's always lit up at night. And it's like really cool. And they have good food, so it's always cool.
Tell us about the food.
Well, they have like Amish people who make the food, so like it's, you know, it's like homemade. It's like really good, and they have really good macaroni and stuff.
Do they? I remember you brought back the taco bar. Taco bar was from camp.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I remember the guys really liked the mashed potatoes. Is that still a popular thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many pounds of mashed potatoes one person can eat? It's amazing. Are there any cool things? Did you try the challenge course? Did you go through hikes in the woods? What else did you do?
Well, like she was saying, we went to the big rocks, and like there's these rocks. Well, you can only climb on certain ones because like some of them are like 50 feet tall.
And okay, okay.
But like you can climb on the like smaller ones, and like one time we did this thing where it was like camouflage, and like you could take like this stuff and like paint your face or whatever, and then we'd play this game where like you had to try to hide in the woods and stuff and see if they could find you or not.
Yeah, so you play stuff like that. You play a lot of creative games you may have never played before. You play at camp, and you might have 30 or 50 or 75 kids all doing this one game together, and it can really be a hoot. So should they go to camp?
Yes.
Good idea, huh? Yeah, and there are camps for little kids and camps for big kids. There are camps for women. There are camps for grandparents with a grandchild. And there are camps for the whole family. You can go, and the grandparent and the family camp are shorter. So if you're like, oh, I'm not sure I can survive a whole week, 3 days, you can do it. You can do it. And then you can take somebody special with you. If you're, I think, what, second grade and older, you can go to a camp by yourself. So you can explore, and the church wants to help your family pave the way, so the church can help make that happen. Anything else we should know about camp? Dylan, did you think of anything? Anything that was cool? Did you make anything fun when you were at camp? Did you make something to take home? Did you make your name tag?
Yeah.
What kind of name tag did you make? It was what?
On the star.
It was on a star? Okay. We're going to make a circle, and we're going to say a prayer. And then up here, I have some silly bands that are all related to camp. You can come up and start making a circle. And then after that, we can get a silly band. And those of you who are fifth grade and younger can be down with Mr. Bill, okay? All right. And thank you, Drew and Sam, for helping us share these ideas. Can you hold Drew's hand? There we go. Thank you, God, for these children. Thank you for their families. Please guide all of us to help take care of them. We ask that you help all of our children explore you, explore your creation, explore Christian community at camp, and discover how wonderful camp is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we got silly bands up here. We got canoes and teepees and squirrels and moose and bear and trees. Take one of those. And I promise there are no bears and moose at camp. Lots of squirrels and turkeys and fun things like that. Thank you.
This is Mark. He loves to help others. It's part of his everyday life. Nothing makes him happier than taking an hour out of his day to give to someone in need. That's why when he hears a disaster has happened, he wants to be the first to help out, even if he can't go himself. Like when a tornado hits the Midwest and thousands of lives are devastated, one great hour of sharing shines a ray of hope with the help of people who give. Like Mark, we can send specially trained experts, supplies, and support to put a community back on its feet again. But it all starts with a decision to give. Will you give to One Great Hour?
During Lent, we are offering new faith practices, and this week, should you decide to accept this mission. The mission is new charity, and it might mean giving in a new way. Maybe you always write a check. Maybe you need to offer your services to somebody. Maybe you need to go help at the sharing kitchen where you can meet people who need a hot meal. Maybe you need to think about giving in new ways. Maybe it's time to think about a bequest in your will. Maybe it's time to look at charities that you may not have given before. Do you give to all five of the United Church of Christ offerings, the main offering and the special offerings. And I can help you learn more about them if you'd like to know. But think about charity in a new way if you decide to this week. And the stick is just a reminder. And the previous week, sticks are on the table over here, and we'd be happy to help you read about them and know more about them if you want to try new ideas. And thanks for the ushers for handing those out. Let us take a time of prayer, please. Creative God, we come to sing your praise. We thank you for redeeming the sorrows and hardships of life. May we love with our lessons. And we thank you for the wonders, the giddy surprises, the bursts of pride, and the quiet joys. We know that all good things are your gifts. Teacher, brother, Jesus, we celebrate your life and all you did with it. We thank you for your courage and peace in facing death. We lean on you to guide us through life and death, hunger and feasting, loss and love. We seek your comfort and healing. Help us trust you. Spirit, breath of God, write upon your hearts, write upon our hearts, your wisdom, your love, and your peace. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Here ends the reading from the prophet Jeremiah. My message this day is called In Our Hearts. 7 centuries before the birth of Christ, there was a man named Jeremiah, born into a priestly family. While very young, Jeremiah was appointed prophet by the young king Josiah. While Babylon had control of Israel, Jeremiah advised King Zedekiah not to revolt, but he ignored his prophet. When the Babylonians destroyed the temple and hauled the royal family and all the important people off to captivity in Babylon, Jeremiah was in prison. Several chapters were written while Jeremiah was hiding in Egypt, but Jeremiah kept writing for God's people through their years of captivity in Babylon. Just as we often ignore warnings and good advice, the Israelis ignored Jeremiah. Among those dragged into exile with them were false prophets who told them what they wanted to hear. In Jeremiah chapter 29, the prophet sent word to them about the truth of their captivity. You will not escape. Settle down, he told them. Build houses. Marry off your children. You will not return to Jerusalem, but your grandchildren will. Keep the faith. Not the good news they wanted to hear, but it was true. Then the Lord God of the Hebrews consoled the people through Jeremiah's words. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Consolation. Like any loving parent, God warned and corrected and scolded and then held the disobedient children and dried their tears. Still today, we run away from our Creator and think that we can be selfish, drunk, and destructive. We think we can feed our greed and our pride. We think we can deny our callings. We think we can listen to human schemes. We think we can worship power, money, and possessions. We think we can use people and love things. Given enough rope, we can hang ourselves. We disobey. We destroy loving kingdoms and express surprise when our plans crash and burn. King Zedekiah did not have Facebook, but there is nothing new under the sun. Over and over and over, God calls us to obey. Our Maker calls us to feed the widows and orphans, visit the prisoners, respect the aliens, and protect the poor. And we say, eh. We build castles in the sand and neglect the oppressed. We dismiss God's plans for our own. We trample over loved ones and are shocked when that goes badly. We can seek out like-minded friends. They will offer us a glass of wine or a warm cookie and tell us what we want to hear. It was the other guy's fault. We can keep doing exactly what we want. Or we can search our hearts, find the selfless, unconditional love we had locked up there too long ago. We can confess and set our lives right. We can repent. Lent is a time when anyone can ponder, confess, and set a new course. We work for a God of second chances. Our God calls us home, calls us to a safe, soft lap where we cry for ourselves and those we hurt. We say we are sorry and have learned our lesson. God forgives and sets us back on our feet. Will we remember this time? After feeling that forgiveness, that reconciliation, that peace, will we remember to spread it around? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? The whole history of God's people in this book of books we call the Bible is mostly our hearing rules, our disobeying rules, and God forgiving us again. Thus, we arrive at the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, today's verses. The prophets we have recorded in our Bible are just a few whose writings have survived. There were hundreds, if not thousands. They taught, they corrected, they were ignored. With a tornado-sized sigh, God shook a weary head and searched for a way to teach that might work, that might last. And Jeremiah wrote, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. Anthropologists wonder sometimes how the naked apes survived. We are not the strongest or the sturdiest creatures. When we watch elephants or dolphins for a time, we suspect we may not be the wisest creatures either. How did we make it this far? Psychologists tell us about altruism. Young people with a bare minimum of parenting seem to have a persistent streak of caring about others. Babies cry when other babies cry. I remember my 3-year-old running to bring a tissue when someone got an owie. She had to help. Teenagers want to fix the world, no matter how often we laugh at them. That's a God thing. 20-somethings still believe the world can be saved no matter how hard doors are slammed in their faces. That's a God thing. I will write it on their hearts, God said. Just before we murdered him, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We can dismiss it, we can ignore it, we can stuff it soundly in the closet. Still, that God spark says, love your neighbor. Care for the sick. Protect the rights of the downtrodden. Welcome the stranger. Feed the hungry. Give the thirsty a cool cup of water. For the first time, Lutheran pastor Diane Roth's church would give the fifth graders their first communion at the Maundy Thursday worship. The 5 youngsters all had family present, including one boy whose recently divorced parents both brought new partners. There were introductions and some tension. Communion was served to those kneeling at the altar. As that boy and his parents knelt for the feast, reaching out for the bread of Christ, someone snapped a picture. And a 2-part conversation flashed in the pastor's head. A mentor had taught her that cameras were forbidden in the sacred setting of worship. Huh. On the other hand, if we are going to welcome all people, even those who snap selfies everywhere, we had better get used to new ways. When, of course, the picture showed up on Facebook, this newfangled intrusion painted an ancient portrait. Mother and father on either side were looking down at their boy with pride and love. Amidst the hurt and anger of divorce, that family held on to what mattered. They worshiped God together. Their love of their child mattered more than grudges. An inappropriate snapshot captured a modern table of reconciliation. Through the blunders and sin that bring about divorce, God's love dug out. It's in our heart. Amen.